Welcome to the New Regime podcast, a Cleveland Browns podcast called New Regime because us fans are ready to start over after every single game. Welcome to Game 2 Preview, Browns against the Saints. New Regime podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, at New Regime Pod. What are we going to cover today? First, we're going to close the book on Pittsburgh. We're going to talk about things that scare me. Player up, player down. 3 points from section 346, where I talk on points from my pal, who I have been arguing sports with since the fourth grade. 3 points from a non-Browns fan, because, as it turns out, I'm not very objective and I'm a little too positive. So some people are going to set me straight on this team, on this city. I'm also going to talk on New Orleans, the city, and the football team. We're going to get into the uniforms really fast because I got to talk about them. I can't wait. And then predictions on the game, of course. Let's get into it.
Hey, shut the door.
We got to close the door on Pittsburgh, right? Let's just get this over with. We tied, okay? Nobody knows how to feel about it. Everybody's confused, right? It's like when there's no other dessert left in the house and you're eating vanilla pudding and you're just like, I guess I'll eat the vanilla pudding. There's no other dessert, right? It's better than more spinach. That's it. That's the only way we feel about a tie. Nobody likes it. Nobody hates it. Nobody hates it because we didn't lose. Everybody in Cleveland should be so happy about this game. It just feels like we should have won that game. How do you miss that field goal at the end? Like, given all the ups and downs. I know we dodged some bullets. We got away with that. That was a fumble on that punt return. That ball totally hit that dude's helmet. I don't know whose helmet it was on special teams, but that was absolutely a turnover. Ugly. We got away with one there. We got away with a couple plays. Let's be honest. The Browns got away with a couple of penalties, too. Like, we're talking a lot about the penalties, like the Myles Garrett penalty. But there were some BS calls on the other side for the Browns. I think as biased fans, we tend to lean a little too much on the side of our own team when it comes to calls and refs. They were bad, but it was a tough game. I got to think that it was equally tough of a game for the refs to call, given all the weather and circumstances, as it was for the players to play in that stuff. Okay, I want to talk about a couple of things. The touchdown drives for the Browns. You had the first drive where they put up the touchdown in the third quarter, and it was 10 plays, 66 yards, took 4 minutes and 55 seconds, and every ounce of that drive was a running play. So, okay, that felt good. Running play, I mean, the last play was Terod scrambling for 20 yards for the touchdown, so it was intentionally going to be a pass play, but it was all on the ground, right? And then the second touchdown was one play, 1 yard. That was after the fumble recovery and return by Peppers. I still think he fumbled that ball into the end zone too. And then finally, the last touchdown was 2 plays, 55 yards, 12 seconds. Had the great pass. I think that was my favorite play of the game from the offense, was the pass to Rashard Higgins, 38 yards. I'm telling you, I like him, man. He's kind of my sleeper this year. And then the touchdown was to Josh Gordon, right? 17 yards. So our offense was horrible. It was worse than I thought. Like, it was bad, and we all recognized it looked bad, and Terod knew, you know, Terod was bad. But looking at these touchdowns, like, we got one on a bunch of running plays. We got one on a 1 yard drive, and then another on a 2 play drive. I mean, you take them however you get them, but I need to see some sustainable drives from this offense. I'm just so sick of seeing that offense that's like, they can't dig themselves out of a hole. We know we have the playmakers, but we shouldn't be in that situation anymore. Like last year when the Browns got a, you know, false start penalty and it was first and 15, you're like, well, 15 yards is way too far for this offense. That shouldn't be the case for this offense, but still, you want to see these drives be more sustainable. And the reason for positivity is this weather was awful, and everybody keeps talking about how bad Terod was. What about Ben Roethlisberger? That dude was terrible this game. So everybody, I'm going to talk about this later, but everybody who's calling for Baker is nuts right now. Give Terod a few games at least, and it's going to be better for Baker in the long run anyway. I'm kind of already sick of the Baker, people calling for Baker right now. More on that later. We got to give it up for Jarvis, right? We got to talk about Jarvis for a minute, just catching everything, being that leader on offense, firing up the offense, pissing off the defense. You got to be happy about that, especially with the Steelers. Anytime you can get them to lose their cool, you're doing something right. I think we got to appreciate that. And I'm so glad he's on our team because, dude, you know you have that friend, that dude who just wants to make everybody unhappy for his own joy. And somehow you're friends with him. You don't know why. He's kind of that friend that you hang out with when nobody else is around. You're like, well, at least I got him when I don't want to listen to my own thoughts. Right? So I don't know, man. He's that guy that I'm so glad is on my team, and we need more of those players. That's why I'm so happy about having Baker on this team when he does eventually start. He's that guy that's going to fire up this team, and the other team is going to hate him with a passion, and that's what I love. I want that guy on the Browns. I feel like every other team in the AFC North has had that guy. The Steelers keep getting that guy. Right? I mean, we all hate Ben Roethlisberger, but also like Hines Ward, we hated him. James Harrison, we hated him. Right? They just continually have those guys that you can't stand. Baltimore, obviously, Ray Lewis was that guy that the entire NFL hated, but you know that city loved him, and we just need that guy. And Jarvis Landry is that guy for this city. I want to see more of that, and I can't wait for our quarterback to be that guy too, because I think he is. Jannard Avery had the sack fumble. We also have to give it up for him, right? That sack that he had towards the end of the game, just collapse in the pocket. That dude is just a monster. I mean, the guy is so strong, just coming out of college. He's probably not maxed out his strength, right? Usually you're still growing at whatever age he is, 21, 22, 23. This guy is a freak, man. Guy benches 400 pounds. I just wrote my first two lines of Python code. It's just sad how we get different gifts. I'm just so pumped again to see this guy. He's a fifth round pick. Can you imagine if he plays this role of a pass rusher? I don't care if he can drop at all. And actually, he hasn't been too bad dropping into coverage either. But wouldn't you love to see just, I mean, the guy that we want Ogba to be, Jannard Avery, just rushing the passer. And Ogba could be out for a little while, so we'll probably see a little bit more Jannard Avery on the edge. And, you know, we're going to see a couple other edge rushers too. But he's the guy that I'm most excited to watch, of course. And then the last thing I want to talk about before we close the book on Pittsburgh is the insanity at First Energy Stadium. I wasn't happy that everybody left, or a lot of people left when we were down 21-7, but I get it. But after that Joe Schobert interception, or I don't know if they gave him credit for the fumble. Was it a fumble recovery? That place was going crazy. I'm just so excited to see that stadium when they finally start winning like a veteran team, when they know they're the better team. That's going to be a crazy good time. It's not too far. It's not too far away. I know it.
Things that scare me.
Okay, I'm just going to say it right now. The guy that I didn't want, absolutely didn't want the Browns to draft, I was probably the only one saying it, because in his highlights, I just didn't get it. I didn't see what everybody else was seeing. Sam Darnold. I didn't want him at all. Not even close. I was totally all in on Baker. Before the draft, you can check my tweet history. I was like, I don't see what everybody else is seeing. I have no clue what everybody else likes in Sam Darnold. The guy just looks like a dork, too. I don't want that guy on my team. And the thing that scares me is, what if I'm wrong? Because the Browns totally went against the grain with this, right? We all know it. We all saw it. The Browns totally went against the grain. People said it was all going to be Sam Darnold. He was the first pick. Up until, like, the day of the draft, people were saying it was Sam Darnold, right? Except for me. I was all in on Baker, and I thought we should take him since the beginning. I watched one game. I watched the Ohio State game where he just beat the crapola out of the Buckeyes. And I thought I saw more highlights in that one game from Baker than I did see from Sam Darnold in his entire college career. I think, yeah, I'm insane. Okay, I admit it. I was even in this particular game, I was impressed, right? He had the bad interception, and I put my hands behind my head, and I was like, yep, I was right. I told you, this guy's going to be terrible. And I'm glad I didn't tweet that, because I would look really stupid. You know, it also helps when your team runs for 170 yards when Isaiah Crowell shows up and has 10 carries for 102 yards, averaging over 10 yards a carry with two touchdowns. He looks like a completely different human than he did on the Browns. Man, I hate when old Browns go to other teams and just play their brains out. It's like they couldn't wait to get out of Cleveland. That's how I take it. I take it as an insult to my city and my team. He looks good, too. Like, he looks like he got in much better shape than he was last year. And then Powell had 60 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry. Between those two guys, what are they, averaging 7.5 yards a carry? The running backs? That's a quarterback's best friend. Absolutely. Running game, right? Rookie quarterback? Man. Terrell Pryor showed up on the stat sheet. Buckeye, right? I'm happy to see him doing well, getting 3 catches for 49 yards in that game, the Jets game. The Lions have to be just awful, though, right? They have to be just an awful team for them to just get torn apart like this. And this was... Wasn't this in Detroit? Man, how do you lay that egg in front of your fans like that? That's one thing I'm worried about this coming week, man. I'm worried about this coming week when the Browns go to New Orleans, because you know the Saints aren't that bad. You know that their defense isn't that bad. When they have that kind of points dropped on them by Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan from accounting put up, 48 points? That's ridiculous. You should get 2 losses for Ryan Fitzpatrick putting up 48 points on you. The one thing that made me laugh in the stat sheet for the Saints game last week was Michael Thomas putting up 16 receptions for 180 yards. 16 receptions! Why didn't we draft that guy? What did we see in Corey Coleman that we didn't see in Michael Thomas? Are we crazy? Man, Sashi Brown should have been fired. Awful pick. I don't know how you pass on that guy. Woof, woof, woof. All right, let's talk about player up, player down. This is going to be real fast, real easy. Player up, man, Myles Garrett. It's so much fun to watch him toss around Pittsburgh's dealers. I hope that happens for the next 15 years. I don't know how old he is, but I hope he's playing for the Browns when he's 57 years old. Player up. Another player up, Denzel Ward, because we love Buckeyes and we love that he's a rookie. We love that he was the 4th overall pick. I love that he was criticized. They would criticize the Browns for drafting him over Bradley Chubb. And he shows up with 2 interceptions against the Pittsburgh Steelers, against a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Heck yeah. Player up, Denzel Ward. Absolutely. Player down, Tyrod Taylor. I think everybody in the universe would agree who watched that game. Tyrod Taylor's going to play better. He will play better. I know he'll play better. I'm not ready to see Baker yet. We'll talk more on that. But I like Tyrod Taylor. Let's keep him in there for at least a few games. Get him going. He's got too many playmakers around him. He's got too good of a run game, too good of an offensive line, at least interior. They will play better this week too. And I got faith in this team that they're going to put up some better points this week, especially in the dome. They're going to be moving around a little bit better.
That ain't no area code.
3 points from section 346. These come from my boy, season ticket holder at First Energy Stadium. He's got 3 points for me, 3 talking points. First, our special teams are atrocious. Instead of even doing any returns on punt returns, let's just have 2 guys back there, 1 for a fair catch, 1 in case that guy drops it. Honestly, I don't hate this point at all. If you look at the way we played last week, our returns actually cost us more yards based on penalties than we got in the return. There's just too much risk. It's like when you have a bad special teams, at a certain point, how many games does it take before you just say, okay, we're done. we don't trust our coach on that side of the ball. We'll fire him in the end, in the offseason. And we don't trust our players to fully understand what the heck they're doing on special teams. So you just say, we're cutting our losses. We're not gaining any yards, but we're not losing any either. I mean, when was the last time we've had a decent special teams on the Browns? Doesn't it seem like they've always been embarrassing since they've come back? At least since the Josh Cribbs era, when you just look forward to watching him run down the field making tackles, and then also in the return game, he was just so fun to watch. But man, I'm just so sick of having a bad special teams. You'd think the one thing that a bad team or a team that's been historically bad would be decent at, just put all your best players on special teams. And then on the other side of the ball, just kick the ball out of bounds when you're punting. I mean, it feels like, how many returns did that guy have? It just was so frustrating to watch. Like, why are we letting this get the Steelers back in the game? Why are we letting this be a turning point for the other team? I'd rather have it be a wash. It's like, that's such a loser mentality, I know. But once you see your team losing all day long at special teams, there's a certain point where you just say, okay, we're being outplayed on special teams. Our guys didn't follow the game plan, or they're being outplayed physically, or there's a reason. So we just cut our losses. To me, that's a leadership thing. That's a head coach thing that should notice something like that. And we're moving on to the next point, which is a good segue to the next point, Hugh and his decision-making. Josh Gordon started, said he wasn't supposed to start. Desmond Harrison at left tackle didn't start all preseason. What are you doing? And now we got a Loud Dome coming up. We've heard this narrative this week in the Twitter universe. Loud Dome, you have this new left tackle starting. This is going to be interesting. It's an experiment right now. All right. They see athleticism at this position. All right. They see Harrison has good athleticism, but can he play left tackle? Right. Jeff George couldn't play quarterback. Neither could Jamarcus Russell. And they had the tools physically to do so. So I want to see this guy step it up a little bit. Yes, he maybe had a better second half, and let's give him a chance. But didn't we have a serviceable line in the preseason? I don't know. So that's something we should be watching, and we should be critical of. Honestly, you made that call. And if we think in the long term, this team will be better with him at left tackle, that's ultimately why they're making these decisions. It sounds like they don't think they're going to the playoffs this year, or if they do, it's going to be difficult. Third thing on this, penalties. This is a point that my friend gave me. Penalties. We have to clean it up. We have to get better. We have to get better. That's what Hugh Jackson says just about after every single game. At what point are we going to clean up these penalties? At what point? Because we saw it all preseason. So when is this going to get better? When is there going to be a little bit more discipline? You know, in this game, we got to give them a little bit of a pass because we know that the rain was a little crazy. It's still a young team. You know this is going to happen this year. You know, this is still a young team. You know we're going to see penalties this year just because there's so much to think about on the field. But man, when you see those false start penalties, doesn't that just get under your skin? I mean, it's brutal watching false start after false start. Some other quick notes. Saints started 0-2, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, each year. Let's have the Browns let them do it again, right? Let's have the Browns do it again. Next point, next little quick note. This is his third point still. And it's actually segues to 3 points from a non-Browns fan. I got two of the same point. Benching Terod in favor of Baker. Can we talk about how ridiculous that is right now? So talking about benching Terod after one game in favor of Baker because Sam Darnold played well, that to me is just, that's just the media creating this thing so that they can get their clicks, so that people can hear them, so that they can get their paycheck. I'm telling you, man, radio is almost dead, and I'm kind of glad it is, because some of these stupid narratives are, I don't know, they're just insufferable. I mean, the whole plan, we've been told this all preseason, like it or not. You don't have to like this plan, but the whole preseason, we've been told, Terod's the guy, Baker's going to sit and learn, and that's just the plan, all right? Some leadership goes and says, we're going to throw our guy in, all right? That's what the Jets did. It worked out for him with Darnold. A lot of times, it doesn't, all right? And by the way, Darnold had 170 yards. 170 yards from his running backs on the ground, okay? That is a little bit of a help. So if Baker comes in and he doesn't get the running support that Darnold did, I think we're kind of doing an apples to orange comparison once again. All right, look, I will be the first to admit that I would be wrong about Sam Darnold. I totally thought it was, I didn't like him at all. But when a quarterback gets 170 yards from his running backs, then that's a pretty big help. Not to mention the Lions were awful. And I'm not trying to tear down another guy in support of Baker because I just hate this narrative, this ridiculous narrative that now we need to start asking the question, that now the Browns owe us an explanation. That's ridiculous. That's absurd. That's just you trying to create this story. It's like, yes, there are guys who came in and were successful. We all know that, right? We know that, you know, Peyton Manning was successful in his second year, but he was bad in his first year, but they threw him in and they said, you know, that first year was vital for his learning process. Aaron Rodgers sat for a while, okay? So there's more than one way to skin a cat. The Browns chose the other way, right? They chose the opposite way. Let's see what happens with Josh Allen this week too, because he's being thrown into the fire by his awful team. So we'll see how that comparison goes too. And maybe he's successful too. And then now the Baker talk is going to get even louder, which will be so annoying. Because this time I think the Browns are actually doing it right. They're finally doing it right. Let the guy sit. Let the guy learn. Let the guy learn the offense. All right. Now he has shown an aptitude. We all admit that, but that was preseason. Let's just give Terod a few games. Can we at least do that? Again, Roethlisberger looked terrible in the first game. Why don't they bench him for their younger quarterback? It's absurd. I know that's a completely absurd point, but I just don't like it. So 3 points from a non-Browns fan. They come from my boy Tommy Morgan in Iowa. He's a comedian. He gave me the first point, and it did make me laugh. Would you accept the pain of going 0-0-16, so tying every game, and having two winless seasons if it meant the playoffs? And I said, heck yeah. I would take 16 straight ties. Absolutely. I would take that heart attack we experienced this past weekend against the Steelers if it meant us going to the playoffs. Yes, I want the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, you have to win or lose. There is no tie in the playoffs. So at a minimum, we're playing a 17th game. And I would take it in a heartbeat. I think everyone in Cleveland would take the playoffs. As ridiculous as ties are. Another point he had was one of the funniest things he saw was somebody put a stat on on the TV during the Browns game, the minutes and seconds since the Browns won. How mean and ruthless is that? Oh, that's brutal. It's just so mean to do that to Cleveland as fans. That just continues our own inferiority complex. It drives me crazy when people do it, when, you know, networks do it. His other question was Jimmy Haslam. He wanted to talk about Jimmy Haslam and the ownership and just kind of the disaster it's been so far. And it has been. Let's be honest. I think everybody in the Cleveland media, everybody on Twitter, the only people that have anything nice to say are the people that work for him. So you have to admit that the guy has not been good. And, you know, I think everybody saw what that Manziel pick was. It wasn't Ray Farmer. It was Jimmy Haslam making the call, overruling his team. I think he learned the lesson. Hopefully he learned the lesson. It sounds like the Haslams have been humbled. You know, the humble billionaire. How many humble billionaires do you know? I don't know, but it would be nice if they let the people they hire do the work. You know, ultimately it's easy to second guess any leadership. Right? And when you hire your GM and you don't think they're doing a good job, then very easy, especially if you're the one paying them. But man, it's been a ridiculous road of firing new regime after new regime. And that's why this podcast is named as it is. It's like, you got to give every regime a little bit of time. And I thought that this whole thing, the setup with Dorsey inheriting a coach, I thought that was a bad idea too. It's like, you should let the GM pick his coach. You should let the GM pick the guys that are going to coach the players that he picks. You know, I don't know. That's just my call. That's just my thought on it. That seems like an easy call to me from the fan perspective. Maybe easier said than done. All right, let's talk about this coming week. We got New Orleans. I want to talk about New Orleans, the city, first. I've been there a few times, went once for vacation, went once for work, and I loved it. I would say New Orleans is probably one of my favorite cities. It's absolutely one of my favorite cities in this country. It's such a great town, man. It looks completely different than any other city in America, in my opinion. The architecture is completely different. The feel is different. The interaction with people. I'm from the North, so, you know, I'm from Cleveland. So it just, you know, the South sometimes seems like a different country. Worst thing about New Orleans is you're going to stick to your seat, whatever seat you're sitting on, because it's hot. It's really hot. And it's also a little dirty. But New Orleans, man, I'm telling you, one of my favorite cities, one of my absolute favorite cities in this country. Best thing, there's so many good things about this city. So many great things about this city. If you ever get a chance to go, I would have gone for this game. I would have gone for this particular football game to watch this game. Just had a baby, so that's not happening anytime soon. But what a great city. Architecture, location, food. The food is amazing there. They have their own food, right? Beignets, shrimp and grits, po' boys, they got that whole thing going. And as a tourist, my recommendations are gonna stink. Never ask a tourist where you should go when you're visiting New Orleans. You have to ask the people that live there. They know exactly what's best. But with that said, I'm gonna give you my tourist recommendation. The people who are listening to this in New Orleans are gonna hate me for this, because I know it just doesn't. It's not going to do them justice. It really isn't going to do them justice. But that said, there is a hotel there, and they have a restaurant in the hotel, which are usually historically awful places to eat. The restaurant in a hotel is usually the worst thing ever. But I went into a restaurant at a Hilton New Orleans, St. Charles Avenue. That's the name of it. And they had the best grits I've ever had in my life. I know. I'm doing this. I'm sorry, everybody in New Orleans. It was cheese, jalapenos. I love jalapenos and grits. Butter. It was just the best. All right. To me, grits shouldn't be that complicated. Cheese, jalapenos, butter, grits, to me, works very, very well. If you put sugar in your grits, I'm just not there yet. All right. Again, I'm from the North. That sounds awful. I get it if you do. I get it if that's part of your culture. But it's just, oh, it just doesn't sound right to me. Got a lot of bless your hearts when I was there. It's kind of like being called sweetie by a lady. They both mean the same thing. They think you're stupid, right? When a lady thinks you're stupid, she calls you sweetie. When a man thinks you're stupid, he calls you repeatedly. Okay, let's get into the game. Let's get into the New Orleans Saints. Again, Ryan Fitzpatrick dropping that big bomb. We don't need to talk about last week now. This week, Saints, things to watch for. Drew Brees is going to be Drew Brees. I think they're going to be so fired up to play against the Browns. They are going to be fired up. Somebody had a good point on Twitter, and I retweeted it. And it was like, look, the fired up thing, the motivation thing, that lasts for about two plays, and then it comes down to execution and game plan. And that makes sense, for sure. I think that is a really, really good point. Like, we talk up too much this whole we're fired up thing. It's like, you still have to go in and focus and execute a game plan. I thought it was a great point. They're not happy after losing. Browns got to go in there and get this W. I'm gonna keep harping on this point. We need belief in this city, in the team, in a young team. If the Saints go 0-2, they're going to be fine. They have another Hall of Fame quarterback we're playing against this week. We need to win this game for the purposes of chemistry and belief. It will bring this team together. We got to win in the next 2 weeks. This week and or next week. I want to see the Browns get after it. Okay, I do. I want to see the Browns get after it again. I want to see that defense swarm into the ball. I'm really concerned this week about the defense. I know they had a great game last week, but that's what makes me worry about this week, is I want to see consistency. So that's one of the things I'm really going to watch out for in this game, is I want to see this team not have one of these lapses, one of these, we have everything covered now that we had that one good game. No, I want to see them get after it again this week. Offense, obviously, we need to see more out of Terod, okay? I get that I was just defending him, but we're going to hear it more. We're going to hear the Baker talk more. People think he could have won last week, right? I want to see Terod step it up a little bit. I just want to see a W, right? If this defense plays the way it did last week and we finally have a running game that helps out Terod, it's amazing how much that'll help that guy play. It'll also be amazing how much it'll help our wide receivers get open. So we want to see obviously more out of Josh Gordon. We want to see him get the ball early this week. I want to see Duke Johnson involved more. I want to see him getting a screen pass that doesn't end up with him completely missing the ball because it's, you know, way too far outside or way delayed or the screen's blown up. I need to see a screen pass that works this week. Okay, those are things that I'm looking for. I am going to stay positive. I'm going to be the crazy person who stays positive in this game. Browns are winning this game. It's going to be another good one. It's going to be 30-24 Browns. Browns are going to put up 30 on the Saints. I know I'm insane. All right, let's go, Brownies. Let's pull that victory out. Let's change the season. Let's change the narrative in Cleveland. Let's get a W this week. Go Browns.